It's Monday night and time to talk football. Welcome to the High School Football Report. Now, here's your host, Chris Beckham.
Broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studio on this Monday night, this is the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. I'm Chris Beckham. Thanks for joining us on this Monday night. A little cool outside, a little rain the last couple of days, cooling things off. But we'll continue our countdown 18 weeks and 4 days, the beginning of high school football season in South Georgia. Lots to talk about on this Monday coming up later on. Going to tell you about some of the latest college offers that some of our South Georgia players have gotten since we joined you last week. Also going to be talking about a new coaching opening in South Georgia as of just a couple of days ago. Also, the Georgia High School Association held their monthly meeting today, and there were some talk about high school football and some changes. We'll tell you about that as well. Also, as we continue to talk about the schedules for this upcoming season, we'll go over some of the best non-region games of the year. But we're very delighted to have in studio with us, and we'll be talking to him right after our first break, one of the best kickers in the country. He plays for the Coffee County Packers. He is Ryan Fitzgerald, and he'll be joining us live right here in the community, Citizens Community Bank Studio right after this first break. So, and later on, if you want to be a part of the action, give us a call on the Carrington Davis hotline at 241-1059. Love to hear from you on this Monday night. Ryan Fitzgerald will join us right after this. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. We'll be back with more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back inside the Citizens Community Bank Studio on this Monday night. This is the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. I want to remind you to follow us on social media. We're on Facebook at The High School Football Report and also on Twitter at HSF Report. And you can follow us there. We update things throughout the week. And also, if you happen to miss part of the show, we got you back. We'll have our podcast from tonight's show up on our website at velocitytoday.com. We'll post the link right to the podcast about 30 minutes after the show is over. So be looking for that around 7:30. You can listen to it at your convenience. First of all, tonight, to kick things off, no pun intended. Well, maybe pun was intended there. Ryan Fitzgerald is the kicker with the Coffee County Packers, and he's inside the Citizens Community Bank Studio with us tonight. Ryan, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Doing great. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
I'm just glad that we got you here because, man, your travel schedule is kind of all over the place. You guys had spring break last week, and you were touring near and far, correct?
Yes, sir. So Saturday we hit up Florida State, and then we stayed home for a day, and then Monday went to Georgia State, and then Tuesday headed over to the University of Alabama. Thursday went to Tennessee, Friday South Carolina, and Saturday Georgia.
Wow, that's a lot. So that's exciting, but it's a lot of traveling as well.
Yes, sir. Yeah, so it'd be worth it in the end.
Exactly right. When you go on these visits and meet with these, see the facilities and meet with the coaches, and a lot of these folks you probably have already met before and they know you. Are you looking for something in particular, or are they looking for you? Kind of how's that process work?
Really, I just want to go to a place where I can continue to grow and improve. And they're just looking at, they're trying to find somebody that is willing to work and improve too, and not just be satisfied where they are. So it's just a mutual relationship.
Again, they all know who you are, and I think most of our listening audience does as well. You've been recognized, and this is the tip of the iceberg with the list of honors and awards that you've gotten. You were the 2017 First Team USA Today and Max Preps kicker. Also, the All-State kicker in the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, Recruit Georgia, just the Georgia Sports Writers Association. I mean, the honors have come in, and I think for a lot of reasons. Number one, you're very, very good at what you do, and you've worked hard to get to that point. And also, you're on a team that has had a lot of success, and I think people know Coffee County and the Packer tradition. And you, of course, in that run to the state championship last year and in years before, you've been a big part of that. So does that help you? I mean, I'm sure there are great kickers out there whose teams may not be as good as Coquitlam County. Does it help a lot that you are on a very successful team?
Yes, sir, absolutely. Whenever you have an offense that'll put you in position for you to succeed, and then when the defense, holds the other team's offense and gets the ball back for your offense to go down there and give you another chance, it's really helpful.
Yeah. Yes, sir. But I'm sure you're a team player, so if you guys get third and long and you know if they don't get it, you can kick a long field goal, you're probably still rooting for them to get a first down.
Absolutely, yes, sir. Whatever helps the team. That's, yeah.
Coach Probst would have some words with you, I think, if that were not the case.
Absolutely.
Ryan, when did you start kicking? Did you come into it naturally or did you kind of find it?
I grew up playing soccer and then kind of transferred over. About little before fifth grade, I really started finding kicking fun to me, and I actually had some lessons with Kevin Butler.
Sure.
Yes, sir. Chicago Bears, great. And two-day lesson. And he really taught me a lot. My dad taught me a lot growing up. And that's how it began.
Yeah. Now, there are a lot of guys who do that. A lot of guys who play soccer and eventually go into kicking, but don't get to the level that you have been. What's been the key to your success? Is it just development, hard work, all of it in between?
Yes, sir. All of it in between. And also just kicking year-round, nonstop, and not being satisfied with wherever you are. And always trying to improve your technique, your fundamentals, because in kicking, that's so important. And also the mindset, you know, going into a game and just year-round having that is really, really important.
Was there a time where you thought to yourself, wow, I could be really good at this? I could maybe be at the next level with my kicking. And did that kind of spur you on, or has it just been a gradual process?
You know, whenever USA Today named me an All-American, that really stood out to me, and
yeah,
it kind of opened my eyes.
Yeah.
kind of opened my eyes as to what my, you know, future could possibly be.
Yeah, you know, and there's so many great players who have come through the Cocker County program, so many who are coming back for the 2018 season. But kickers are always a little bit different. I think always viewed differently. And I think back to the great story, my friend Chris Hatcher, who's now the head coach at Samford. And he was coaching special teams at Central Florida. And he said, basically, I went over there and said, okay, kickers, y'all do whatever y'all do. I don't have any idea what y'all got going on. And it's always kind of been that way. Everybody else is, you know, hitting each other, and you guys are on the side kicking. So it's a little bit of a different it's an important part of the team, obviously, but it's always a little bit different than practice and things like that.
Right, yeah, camps are really important throughout the year. You know, you got guys like Brandon Kornblue in South Florida that trains all over the U.S., Jamie Cole, Chris Saylor. They're just some of the guys that have – they train all across the U.S., and that's really a big step where you can improve your kicking whenever you're, you know, going against some of the top guys in the nation, and you can compare yourself, see where you're at.
Ryan Fitzgerald, again, a rising senior with the Colquitt County Packers, an All-American kicker, joining us tonight on the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. Ryan, we were talking before the show about when it comes to college recruiting, it is so much different with kickers because there are a lot of big-time programs who maybe get kickers to walk on, and then if they do well, offer them scholarship, but maybe not offer them scholarship coming out of high school. Is that true? Is that what you've seen?
Yes, sir. So, you know, colleges, they only have a set number of scholarships, and they don't want to waste it on three or four kickers on the, you know, the same team whenever one's going to be playing. So really it's all about timing. You know, if they have a guy, they just signed a guy on scholarship, they're not going to offer a guy the next year and, right, you know, have two on scholarships. That's usually how it works. They'll only offer maybe one every 3 or 4 years.
Do you have some kind of chart saying, okay, here are the guys who have junior kickers?
Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
I bet you did.
Yes,
that's smart.
About a year ago, we had a whole list of –
That's smart.
Yeah, about 100 college.
Yeah, I would imagine so, because that plays a lot into it, like you said. Now, you do have two college offers right now, correct?
Yes, sir.
And they are from?
Georgia State and Air Force.
Air Force was just last week, I believe.
Yes, sir.
Right? Yeah.
Yes, they called me last week. They said I've had it for a while, but they just, yeah, I just realized it. So.
Well, that's nice of them to let you
yeah,
know.
Yes, sir. It was nice to let me know.
I keep thinking, boy, Air Force, Colorado, thin air, man, that's...
The ball, yeah, the balls fly up there, that's for sure. It probably adds another 5-10 yards of distance.
I can imagine. Now, there'll be more offers, I'm sure, because like I said, you're making the rounds, you've performed well in all the camps and that kind of thing. Do you have any kind of a timetable set as when you would like to make some decision? I mean, there's plenty early in the process.
So. Right. Yeah, like you said, it's really early, so I'm not in any kind of rush right now. You know, I just want to focus on getting better every day, and then what comes, it'll come later. Yeah, I don't really have any timetable.
Yeah. Now, as far as your schedule with camps and all, I assume this summer will be very busy with that as well. Or is it between now and the summer, are you busy? Or
yes, sir. This spring also, there's been about 10 to 15 college coaches that have said they're coming to watch me.
Okay.
Practice Georgia, Tennessee, Florida State. Yeah, the list goes on. But
yeah.
And then early June, I'm going to a lot of kicking camps, and that'll be really important because a lot of colleges have asked me to come up there And that could be possibly when I could receive more offers, too.
Gotcha. What's the key to it? What's the key to your success? That there are young aspiring kickers, like your brother, who's an aspiring kicker as well, but and other, I'm sure young people talk to you about, you know, what's the big key? What should I do to maybe get to that position? What's the best advice that you could give them?
Really just focus on fundamentals and technique. And, you know, just because you make all your kicks one day doesn't mean you did everything right. You could have 100 things wrong with your technique, and every day you want to keep improving in some way, in some fashion. Mm-hmm. And then also having a good mindset about everything, kicking. You know, that's crucial, just like a pitcher is in baseball.
Yeah. So. Whenever you're talking about your senior year, of course, and I don't want you to come around and kick me on the table when I mention the state championship game from last year, a tough loss for the Packers, obviously. But you guys are loaded. Coach Popes told me a couple of years ago, your class and the class after you, he said, we're going to really make some strong runs at it. And you have a lot of talent coming back. I feel like I ask a foolish question and say, what are the expectations? Because I guess at Coffman County, it's always a state championship.
Yes, sir. Every year, region championship, state championship.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
How do you feel about the guys coming back? Where do you think you're really going to be strong? And what do you think this 2018 team is going to look like?
I mean, we're strong in every position. Our offensive line we lost one starter last year. And, you know, we have big Cam Bell coming back, Will mm-hmm. Reichard. You know, the list goes on and on. We have tremendous depth. And then defense-wise, we're loaded in the secondary, D-line, wide receivers, running backs. And then JC, he's going to come in, and he's going to do good. So we should be good to go.
No doubt about it. And I tell you, it's fun to see. We've been seeing all these spring games over the last weekend. Just this past weekend, I was watching the South Carolina's spring game. It was a 30-yard pass to Keall Pollard. And so you see these guys at the next level who are doing well and representing Coffman County, and that's always good to see. All the travels, you just talked about your incredible spring break week last week. Do you ever get the chance to kind of get it all in perspective and kind of, you know, getting so much attention, and I'm sure mail and text and emails and phone calls all from colleges and the media. Is it hard to stay focused and say, you know, I'm still a student, I'm still a high school student, still want to get ready for my senior year?
Yes, sir. I wouldn't say it's easy to stay focused, but, I mean, that's what you have to do. You're a student first, then an athlete. And without grades, you can't go to college, so. Mm-hmm. You know, you definitely have to manage your time well and know what's important now and then what's important to worry about later.
Yeah. There's so much pressure as a kicker, because as the team marching down the field, which the Packers do pretty often, and get down there, and you know that the game could depend on your performance, and that's a lot of pressure at any level, but I think especially at the high school level, do you learn to process that? Do you learn to kind of deal with that pressure?
I mean, personally, I like the pressure. You know, whenever game's on the line, I want to be out there and have a chance to make that kick. So I've been in pressure situations before this past season in playoff games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I love the feeling of, you know, making a kick, you know, at the end of the game, or just to feel that you made some sort of a difference in the game. It feels pretty good.
Is there a certain point on the field when the team's marching down, the game's getting late? Of course, you guys don't have a whole lot of close games. It seems like a lot of times you guys put yours out of the – but when they're coming down, do you start thinking, okay, I need to start getting ready. We're at the 50, we're at the – you know, something like that.
Yes, sir. What I'll do is usually, depending on where we're at the field, usually midfield, I'll start warming up in the net some. And then especially whenever it comes to maybe second and long or third down, that's when I really, you know, get focused and kick a few more and then get to the sideline. Stand near special teams coach and get ready if they're going to holler field goal or if they get the first down.
You gotcha. What's your longest field goal you kicked in high school?
I kicked in high school a 60-yarder against Archer in the playoffs.
Right. Yeah. Yes, sir. How could I forget that one? Yeah, that was one of the longest. As a matter of fact, I think it might be the longest in South Georgia history, one of the longest in state history. Yeah. What's your range? I mean, how far? You can't go much further back than 60 yards. I mean, that's pretty.
You know, if I was out there right now, I would say maybe 57, 55 and in right now. I'm sure whenever you have a little bit of adrenaline rush and crowd gets going, I'm sure you could add a couple yards of distance too.
And nobody rushed you if you're just out there on the field with it teed up.
Right.
But you can put it in from
Probably 65 plus at least.
Oh, that's amazing. Not only the strength that you get to that way, but the accuracy as well. Talk about the strength. I mean, a lot of work in the weight room. People probably don't think of kickers as being beast in the weight room, but you got to be if you're going to put it that far.
Yes, sir. I mean, at Colquitt County, the weight room is the key to everything. We take so much pride in that. I mean, we get every rep, every set, and we don't take any days off. Like, right now, we're working out Monday, Wednesday, Friday. Tuesdays, we have yoga in the morning, 6:45, and then we do speed work after that. So it's really important, especially for a kicker. I mean, doing explosive stuff and Yeah, it's a big part.
Yeah, and flexibility as well, I'm sure. That's a, I mean, you talk about the younger part. I could see where that'd be beneficial for everybody, but especially kicker. You got to keep it loose and be ready to go.
Especially, you know, it prevents injuries and stuff as well, and that's really important. You know, if you have something tweaked in your leg, you know, that makes a big difference.
Absolutely. Well, I expect you guys to make another run at it. I think everybody does. You guys got a lot of, including yourself, a lot of key players back for this run in 2018, so it's going to be interesting to watch. But I like that you mentioned every year, before you mentioned state championship, region championship first. I know whenever you're in a region with the Lowndes of Tift County and Camden County, that's a good enough award as it is, and I'm sure not one that you guys take lightly. So I'm glad you guys kind of focus on that first before you make the run at the state. So it'll be interesting and fun to keep up with you, Ryan. So, listen, good luck on the spring camps and the summer. It's going to be a busy time. Hats off to your mom and dad, who I know it's a lot of miles in their cars.
Couldn't have done it without them. That's for sure.
Absolutely. So it is a family affair when you get to the level that you're at, but I know you're doing fantastic. I mean, we're awfully proud of you, and we'll keep track of you this summer and get ready for, as I mentioned earlier, 18 weeks and 4 days. Won't be long before you got, well, I guess 5 days for you. You kick it off on that Saturday in the Corky Kale, so you get one extra day. So,
yes, and Mercedes-Benz Stadium.
That's right. That'll be something else. That's right. Mm-hmm. Couldn't quite make it happen, although we should have. We won't get into that. It's a sore subject right now.
Not going to talk about that.
That's right. We're going to put that aside. You'll get your chance in the Mercedes-Benz in August in the Corky Kale Classic against his McEachern, I believe.
Yes, sir. Yep. I think it's 3 o'clock kick.
3 o'clock kick. He knows the time, not just the day. So he's ready to go. He wishes it was tomorrow. So, Ryan, we appreciate your time tonight. Good luck.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thanks so much. We'll take a break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you the very interesting story of a young man that Ryan knows very well, and you're going to know very well a lot more coming up soon. We'll tell you who that is and when that story coming up next right here in the Citizens Community Bank Studios. You're listening to the Ray Norton Tire and Auto High School Football Report, and we'll be back with more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
Right, back on the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report, broadcasting live in the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Remember, every Monday night, folks, we don't talk about baseball. We don't talk about basketball. We don't talk about the Masters. It was great. Love it. Not the place for it. We're talking high school football for 1 hour a week, 12 months out of the year. So if you know somebody who is a high school football fan, we urge you to tell them about our show and start thinking about the upcoming 2018 season. And we also want you to think about our great friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center, 247-1555. You can shop for tires, services, schedule an appointment, all of their website, raynortontire.com. Since 1987, they've been servicing auto repairs, tire, wheel needs for customers across South Georgia, and you'll find it all. Full service oil change. They even have a used car inventory there as well. Go by and see them, the good folks at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center. Good folks, and we appreciate them being a part of the show. And again, we appreciate Ryan Fitzgerald coming on the show with us. Class act. He is a big time. I love that answer. When did you know you were going to be pretty good? Well, when USA Today named their first team. Yeah, that's a pretty good sign you're going to make it. So it's an exciting time for him and for all those who are getting ready for the 2018 season, including a teammate of Ryan Fitzgerald. I would say this young man had a pretty big weekend. And you heard him mention, you heard Ryan mention Cam Bell. Kamar Bell, offensive lineman from Coffee County High School. Going into the weekend, he was, you know, people in Moultrie know who he is. They're relying on him for a big time 2018 season, but he had yet to have a college offer. Well, that changed in a big way. He went from not having any offers to getting an offer from the University of Alabama, defending national champion. Not too many people have their first offer from Alabama. But that's exactly what happened to Kamar Bell. He said, made a phone call to Coach Saban on Sunday. He told me about the facility and how it's going to be when I come down there. And there's no doubt I'm going to, he said, there's no doubt I'm going to commit to Roll Tide. They're a winning team. I come from a winning team. Once I get right in school and get everything situated, I'm going to commit. So he had his mind set on joining Alabama's recruiting class. He loved the, it was an unofficial visit, but he said he loved it, felt welcome there. He said, you know, he loved everything about it. I like some of the players. I like the offensive line coach. I like the nutrition program, the weight room, the facilities, the coaches. Yeah, Alabama kind of has everything. I mean, you know, seriously. Even if you're not an Alabama fan, you have to admit, they're going to have everything that you're looking for. So Kamar Bell, 6'3", 328 pounds. He is a guard at Coffee County High School, being recruited as a guard or center by Alabama. Now, let me tell you how this is going to work. Kamar Bell just got his first offer from Alabama. The offers will now start pouring in. I don't know at what time frame that's going to happen. But you see this domino effect happen all the time. Now, usually it happens in reverse order. We can pull names out of last year, but it happens every year where a player will get an offer from, and this is no disrespect to these programs, they're just not as large or accomplished. But you will see a player get an offer from, you know, a small non-Power 5 school, let's say a South Alabama or something like that. And again, great programs. If you get a Division I offer, listen, that's special. But you'll start to see some of the smaller schools, and then you'll see the big-time schools, and then you'll see the really big national powerhouses, then they'll come in later on. And it's kind of a domino effect. We talked about this with Coach Ashley Anders here on this show in regards to Tift County linebacker Andrew Johnson. He went from having a few offers from some smaller D1 schools, and all of a sudden, and I can't remember which his first one was. It might have been Ole Miss. It may have been Oregon, where he eventually committed and signed. But he got offers from there, and then within a 24 or 48-hour period, he had Georgia, Florida State, Alabama, Auburn, Florida. They all came in. And when I saw these offers coming in, I called Coach Anders, and I said, did he just make a test score? Did he have a great workout? He said, no, that's just kind of how it works. When you get one big one, a lot of the other ones start saying, wow, who is this guy? And they'll look him up, and then they'll extend an offer. So Kamar Bell getting an offer literally this weekend from the University of Alabama, I would bet in the next month you will see that list grow tremendously. So congratulations to him. We'll wait and see if anybody can sway him, although it does seem like he is right now committed and full force for Roll Tide, and I can't blame him. We'll see how that pans out. But recruiting is a crazy, crazy business, and so we wish him well. And, of course, like all the rest of the rising seniors, you go through this period this spring. Of course, you have spring practice coming up in about a month, a little bit less than a month. And then some workouts, more visits, and 707. And it's just so completely a different process than it was many, many years ago, where it was, you know, August through hopefully December if you were very, very good. And then you take, you know, holidays off, you come back and do some early morning stuff, and then there'd be spring practice. Now it's now camps, and it is a complete process. It really is. And that's why I think you're seeing fewer dual sport athletes of people who really think they got a chance to play at college. It's just almost impossible to do. Now, I'm not saying you don't have some, because you do. You see a Coffee County, Cam Singletary playing football and basketball. Rashad Bateman, Tift County football and basketball. You see guys play, you know, football, baseball, that kind of thing. But it's just very tough, because if you are at that level to be recruited by a college, listen, there's a lot to do, a lot of camps. It's very competitive. And now with this early signing period, which we've talked about a lot, I think that makes it maybe even more competitive. So we'll wait and see what pans out for Kamar Bell. But that's a big-time offer, your first one from Nick Saban and the Crimson Tide. 229-241-1059 is our number on the Kerrigan Davis Hotline. Give us a call. Let us know if you want to be a part of the program. I mentioned a new opening. By the way, looking at the changes in Georgia, the coaching changes, I think we are now unofficially up to 74 football coaches in the state of Georgia. I'm trying to go off the top of my head and give you the number of programs. I don't have that. I want to say somewhere around 278, 280, something like that. We'll go back and count. 74 coaching changes this year in the state of Georgia. And right now, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, that we know of, 11 are still open at this point. The latest one being up the road in Baxley, Georgia, and a familiar name to South Georgia football. It has been not reported, but we have been told here at the High School Football Report that John Lindsay is leaving Appling County and will be joining the coaching staff at Coffey as a defensive line coach. Now, John Lindsay has been the head coach at Appling County for the past year. Before that, he spent 2 years at East Paulding, which is his alma mater. He spent 1 year as the head coach at Cook, and he spent 3 years as the head coach at Irwin County. He is a former Camden County assistant before he got on the head coaching track. Now, 44-31-1 in 7 years, so he got a winning record. But when you leave a head coaching opportunity at Appling County to go as an assistant, it does make you go, well, wait a minute. But, again, assistant at a 6A program, very successful under Coach Robbie Pruitt there at Coffey. So who knows what were the determining factors exactly, but we are being told that John Lindsay is leaving the head coaching position at Appling County to become a defensive line coach there at Coffey High School. So again, familiar name as he has had stops in Adel and in Osceola and in Baxley here in South Georgia. As far as the coaching changes, you know, we've had a lot of, I mentioned 74. We've had a lot of changes at programs that have some pretty good history in the state of Georgia, but maybe have not had as much success lately, including America Sumter. Of course, Eric Soliday, and that's a little bit of a different deal because he got his 30 years in and will now be coaching at Tift area, which you see a lot of public coaches, public school coaches do. They'll get their 30 years in. That gets their retirement. And then they can go and coach at a private school or a school in another state. And so you see that sometimes as well. And you draw your retirement plus your salary there at the school. So that's not uncommon. America Sumter had their best season maybe ever since they consolidated America's High and Sumter County High. Larry Harold is the new coach at America Sumter. Gainesville High School has a new coach. Gainesville, probably most known lately for being the alma mater of Deshaun Watson, but Gainesville has a long history of success in Georgia. LaGrange High School, a lot of folks know LaGrange Grangers. They've had not had the success lately that they had years ago. Folks in Valdosta probably remember playing LaGrange for the state championship a couple years, back-to-back, 1-1, lost one. I think it was 90-91, won it in 90 on a cold night, and lost it in 91 to Rodney Hudson, the great quarterback. Lincoln County, we told you about that. Michael Pollock, former Cook coach, new head coach at Lincoln County. Of course, one of the storied single-A programs in the state. Stevens County, which has had some success over the years. They've got a new coach. Thomas County Central, Ashley Henderson, taking over the Yellow Jackets. 5 state championships, but that was now, you know, 20 years ago. They have not had this success lately. Not been terrible, but have not been at that state championship level in quite a while. Ashley Henderson hopes to change that. And the Thompson High Bulldogs, another program with a lot of success over a lot of years. And they're also a team that actually that job is still open right now. That we know that are open. Wheeler County, Appling County now with John Lindsay leaving. Thompson High School, Stewart County, which is kind of South Georgia, Southwest Georgia over in that area. My left hand is pointing that way. Redan High School, by the way, we just had Ryan Fitzgerald on. Redan, the alma mater of Chris Gardocki, great Clemson and NFL kicker. Potula Charter School, North Atlanta, Kipp Charter School, Jordan High School. It's spelled Jordan, but it's near Auburn, so it's Jordan. That's how they say that. And Central Macon and Banks County are the ones that are right now open. Now, the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, my buddy Todd Holcomb, has Worth County listed as an open job right now. Again, we've been told, and we're going to verify this week. We tried last week. They were on spring break. Frankie Carroll, who is the athletic director there at Worth County, we believe is going to be coaching the Worth County Rams this fall. They may open to back up to find a permanent coach after that, but we believe he's going to be the head coach this fall. So we will check on that this year, this week, and let you know about that next week. So, again, the big news from that, Appling County coach John Lindsay apparently leaving the Appling County program to become an assistant at Coffee High School. Now, as we talk about that little trip down memory lane, Gainesville, LaGrange, Lincoln County, Thomas County Central, Thompson, all those storied programs, every year after the season, we like to kind of touch base and make sure that Valdosta High School is still the winningest program in the country. You see that on billboards and on everything, nation's winningest team. Well, good news for Cats fans is they still are, okay? As of right now, this is all the results from 2017. Valdosta is still the only high school team in the country with over 900 wins, 917 wins for the Wildcats. Now, that puts them still in pretty good shape, 32 games ahead of Highlands, Kentucky. The Bluebirds have 885. Real quick run through the top 10. Louisville Mail has 878. Mayfield Cardinals in Kentucky. Well, Kentucky has 3 of the top 4. Mayfield at 873. Did Kentucky start high school football like 20 years before everybody else? How in the world do they have 3 of the top 4? I thought that was a basketball state. Massillon High School in Ohio, 5th on the list with 871, followed by the Mount Carmel, Pennsylvania Red Tornadoes with 846. The Easton Rovers, also from Pennsylvania, at 837. Muskegon, Michigan's Big Reds at 833. Hampton, Virginia Crabbers at 832. I guess you get catch a lot of crab. Maybe it's on the coast. And the McKinley Canton Bulldogs in Canton, Ohio, of course, the home of the Football Hall of Fame at 828. They're the number 10 team in the country as far as wins. So Valdosta still with a 32-game lead on Highlands, Kentucky as the winningest football high school football program in the country. Now, how about winningest football programs overall? High school, college, pro, all of them. Valdosta is still behind the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan with 943, Valdosta at 917. So all the Cat fans rooting for Harbaugh to take that program down and have a couple of three-win years. The Yale Bulldogs are third at 902. Ohio State tied with Texas at 898. Number six goes to Nebraska with 893. University of Alabama, 891, and they're rising. They're only two behind Nebraska. So, Scott Frost, you got Nick Saban two games behind you. Get ready. Highlands, Kentucky, I mentioned them. They're the second high school football team in the top 10 with 885. Oklahoma Sooners at 884. Now, and of course, you know, apples and oranges. We know, you know, college teams play 12 games every year. High school teams play 10 regular season. You can play 15. So, it's kind of similar, but not exactly similar. And I say college is 12. Most play 13 if they get to a bowl game. And conference championship, you can play 14. And if you get into the Final Four, you can play 15, I guess. No NFL teams are on the list. The winningest NFL teams, nobody's really even close. The Chicago Bears at 784. Are they second? I'll tell you about Green Bay Packers at 793 are the top winningest NFL team ever. But that still puts them 90 games out of the top 10 ever. So no NFL team, although they play 16 games a year in the playoffs, it's going to be a long time before they could ever possibly get into the top 10. Packers are first, followed by the Bears, followed by the Giants, 736. Pittsburgh, 675. Washington Redskins at 637. So there you go. You're still number one, Valdosta. Enjoy it. I don't think you're going anywhere anytime soon. We'll take another break. When we come back, lots more to talk about. We'll talk about the GHSA meeting today. I believe it was at their headquarters at Thomaston, Georgia. Did have some discussion about football. And I think maybe the bigger story is what was hinted at but not said by Robin Hines, the head of the GHSA. I'll tell you what I mean when we come back. As we broadcast live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios, we'll have more of the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report coming up right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
All right, back on the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. I'm Chris Beckham. Again, Kerrigan Davis hotline open at 229-241-1059. Got a question, comment, or anything you'd like to add to the show? Love to hear from you. Also, reminder that we are coming to you live from the Citizens Community Bank Studio. Hey, the bank for you is the good folks at Citizens Community Bank, locations in Hayhower, Morven, and two in Valdosta. They're the bank for quick service. You can call them and talk to them about instant issue debit cards, one of the many services that they provide for their customers. And again, you can like them, tweet them, and follow them on Instagram, Twitter, and on Facebook. Citizens Community Bank, been doing it for a long time the right way here in South Georgia. And also, you can like us on Facebook, the High School Football Report. Tweet us at HSF Report on Twitter. And also listen to our podcast. We'll have it up by 7:30 tonight of this show and our last two shows. If you happen to miss any of our interview earlier with kicker Ryan Fitzgerald with the Cockpit County Packers, we'll have it all up on the podcast so you can listen to it while you're working or walking or working out or relaxing or whatever you do. Right there for you at your convenience. And we'll post that link. It's at ValdostaToday.com. Then you click on radio, you see our station, then you see our show. It's kind of convoluted, but we'll put the link up on social media so you can click right on it and be right there. All right, talking about the GHSA meeting today, the GHSA had their monthly meeting today. Did we figure out if it was at Thomaston or not? Not exactly sure. Anyway, they had their meeting today in their monthly meeting, and there was a lot that they talked about. Not too much football right now. The football committee, there was a proposal to use seven officials on the field for all the state playoff football games and to remove one member of the four-member chain crew to help offset the cost of the additional football official. That passed unanimously. So we'll have seven officials now on the field for state playoff football games. Also, there was a proposal to allow fall scrimmage games to involve three different schools with each playing one half against the other two. You can already do that in spring games, and as of today now, you'll be able to do that in fall scrimmages. So I don't know if that's going to affect any scrimmages this fall or not. The committee also discussed using instant replay in football playoff games, but no action was taken. And as we've said on this show before, I understand it. Everybody talks about instant replay and and because of some things that happened in state championship games. I think the only way that you can do that, however, the only way that you're going to get yourself in a world of mess unless you do it this way, and I'm sure the GHSA is listening to our show right now. Guys, I'm telling you, if you do it in a state championship game, which is televised by GPTV, that's the only way you can do it, because I think you've got to have the technology to get several different replays, several different angles of a disputed play. That's the only way to do it. And right now, the only way to do it is in state championship games. And I would have a problem with that. I'm not an anti-replay guy. However, I think you got to be able to do it right, and I don't know if that exists. I know it does not exist in all playoff games, I can tell you, especially at the lower levels. There's just no way to do it. Now, some may argue that, oh, yes, we could do this and that. Well, then somebody's going to have to come up with it. Who's going to incur the cost of this and that as well. GPTV, which does the state championship games, you could use their feed. But anyway, no action was taken, so there you go. Here's what I think was hinted at, and I thought this is very interesting. At the very end of the meeting today, and again, they went through volleyball, tennis, swimming, soccer, gymnastics, football, cheerleading, basketball, baseball, went through all the committees, had a bunch of different recommendations, and they talked about a lot of different proposals. As a matter of fact, there were 8 different proposals, everything from the budget to splitting soccer and volleyball into public-private, which that did happen today, and that's big for those sports. But here was the final thing. When they went through the entire agenda, Dr. Robin Hines, who has been as the head of the GHSA now for less than a year, he talked about a lot of different things. Then at the very end, he said, I want the committee to think about whether 2-year or 4-year cycles are better for reclassification. Now, we've always had 2-year cycles until the last time, and they voted to go to a 4-year cycle. Right now, we're in the middle of a 4-year cycle. Now, they did allow for that adjustment period, which did affect us here in South Georgia. We've talked about this on the show. When Albany High School closed, those other Albany schools absorbed those students, and therefore Doherty is moving up in classification, up into AAA now. And so that's going to affect, into 4A, I guess. So that's going to affect some South Georgia regions here. But right now we have a 4-year cycle. Dr. Hines said, let's think about whether 2-year or 4-year cycles are better for reclassification. And then he mentioned, let's think about going back to 6 classifications. That would help the problems that many schools are now facing on travel and on scheduling and on finances. Now, one of the things that the proponents of a 7A structure have, which we have now, obviously think about it. More money for the GHSA, more money for schools, because you have more playoff teams. You have a whole different classification. That means that you're going to have, and this is just math, 14 of these reasons, 32 new schools who will make the playoffs every year. Now, some, and I think a lot of traditionalists say, well, that dilutes the playoffs. You have teams in the playoffs with losing records. You have teams in the playoffs who have won 2 games, who have won 1 game. But they make it to the playoffs because they're in a region where there are only maybe 4 teams or 5 teams or whatever the case may be. So when a team now says, well, we made it to the playoffs for 12 straight years. Well, I think a lot of folks back in the 70s would say, yeah. Back then, only 1 team per region made the playoffs. And if you were in a region with a Valdosta or a Lincoln County or, you know, whoever the powers were back then you had to be outstanding to make the playoffs. You can make the region playoffs, but not the state playoffs. So now, 7 classifications means there are 32 extra teams, 4 from each of the 8 regions, who make the playoffs. So now, I thought it was interesting that Robin Hines, and we have talked about having him on the show, and I did talk to their public information director, and he said, yeah, we'll get him on. There was spring break last week, and so we haven't quite done that yet, but we will have him on the show. And I'd like to talk to him about this. He just simply mentioned, let's think about going back to 6 classifications, how that would help many schools in travel, scheduling, and in finances. And he also said they're looking for an assistant director. They hope to have that in place by June. So very, very interesting. There was also some talk about the method of choosing football officials for the state playoffs, and they gave some ideas about tweaking the system. They didn't really talk any more about that. There was also some of the talk about, this is non-football talk, but some talk about changes and things. I think a lot of it came from some Senate bill or some legislation in the Georgia legislature this year. I think that may have had more to do with volleyball, and that was the whole split between public and private in, well, basically now public and private in single A. There are no more private schools in double A. Benedictine moved up to triple A. So all the private schools are now in single A. And I think now wrestling is the only sport where public and private will compete against each other. Some of the other schools, sports, soccer and volleyball, as of today, would now be broken into public and private. And I believe in those sports, in soccer and volleyball, single A and double A will compete against each other. Public schools and then private schools will compete against each other. And I just said, of course, there's none in double A. So there you go. That's the decision. But a very interesting, again, not a proposal, not a let's vote on it next meeting. Just simply, hey, let's think about it. Okay? We'll see if that goes anywhere. And I would imagine if the director of the Georgia High School Association says, think about it, he wants you to really think about it. That's if the president of your company says, hey, I want you to think about this. Well, you better be thinking about it. You better be seriously. He's not saying that to hear himself talk. And neither is Robert Hines, I think. 229-241-1059. Let's take a look at some of the top players in our South Georgia area who have gotten college offers over the past week. We mentioned Kamar Bell from Cockle County getting an offer today from the University of Alabama. Last Friday, Javonte McGriff, defensive lineman at Thomasville, received an offer from Georgia Southern. Jamie Petway, who was a big-time linebacker at Westover High School, got his latest offer, this from the Green Wave of Tulane. Rashard Revels and Will Reichard, both Cockle County Packers, Revels a linebacker, Reichard an offensive lineman, both got offers last week from University of Alabama, Birmingham. And, of course, we had Ryan Fitzgerald on with us. He got an offer last week from Air Force. But the other one that stands out big time, Travis Tisdale, rising senior, running back at Lowndes High School, got an offer Thursday from Penn State University. James Franklin reaching out, becoming the latest team to reach out for the services of Travis Tisdale. And to me, Travis's story is so interesting because if he goes to camps and you time him and you watch him run, you go, wow, this guy is a big-time prospect. But if you look at his statistics, you know, you'll see a lot of big-time running back prospects with, you know, 1,000 yards, 1,500 yards, 2,000 yards, whatever the case may be. Travis doesn't have that for two reasons. Number one, he was in the same offense with Michael Barrett, who took a lot of yards for himself. And, again, Travis wasn't complaining because they were winning. And number two, a lot of the games were pretty much blowouts at halftime. And so, you know, he's riding the bench second half while the subs play. So his yardage isn't added up. But listen, people know who Travis Tisdale is. He has, as I mentioned, as of today, an offer from Penn State. He has offers from, and I'm just going to hit the highlights here because it would take a long time to go through them all, LSU, Nebraska, Minnesota, Ole Miss, Southern California, West Virginia, Central Florida, undefeated, self-proclaimed national champion, Iowa State, Georgia State, and again, as of today, Penn State. And again, that list is going to keep on growing. He's a big-time player. He will be, I think, more featured in the Lions offense this year. 5'8", 165, can flat fly, and he can bring it. So congratulations on his offer from Penn State. And again, there's really been, I don't think, any timetable as to when he's going to make his decision, but he is very highly sought after, as you can imagine. So, all right, we'll take our final break. When we come back, we'll continue to go back to our schedules. What are some of the best non-region games of the year? We tried to pin this down to 10. I just couldn't do it. Too many great games out there. I'll tell you about some of them when we come back. Again, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. This is the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report. We'll be back with more right after this.
And now, more of the High School Football Report. Here's Chris Beckham.
Back on the Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center High School Football Report, broadcasting live from the Citizens Community Bank Studios. Hey, have you asked yourself the questions? Hey, can I retire early? Are my investments working like they should be? If I'm going to save for college, what's my approach there? Or, do I have enough life insurance for my family? Kerrigan Davis can answer all those questions and more. KerriganDavis.com. Stop by and see me. If you have any questions, Darren Kerrigan, Steve Parker, Adam Setzer, and their team will provide all the answers and provide you with a blueprint for your financial future. And I cannot tell you how important that is. So check them out online, KerriganDavis.com, and they'll be glad to meet with you, talk to you, and help you in any way that they can. All right, we've got 4.5 minutes. I'm never going to be able to run through all these games. top best non-region games of 2018. We'll come back and revisit this. I did try to get the top 10. It's different. I think what we're going to do next week, the key game for each team, just as a barometer, non-region game, after you play this game, I think you're going to say, okay, now we got a pretty good idea of where we are. I think some of that's going to come in the first week of the season. Tift County at Warner Robins, both coming off tremendous years. Game will be at McConnell Tower Stadium. This is the first week of the season right out of the gate. America Sumter at Crisp. Now, that's a big game. America Sumter coming off a playoff run. New coach Larry Harold at Crisp County coming off a great run as well. A lot of returning guys, big-time college recruits. Mitchell County at Brooks County. We talked about this last week and a couple weeks ago with Maurice Freeman. Revisiting that old rivalry between Mitchell Baker and Brooks County. That game will be in Quitman. Also, first week of the season, Clinch County at Hebron Christian. All the way up in Gwinnett County. Never played before. Hebron Christian's had a pretty good run up there. Another interesting one first week, Charlton County at Frederica Academy. Frederica Academy is a GISA powerhouse. Been very good. They played the Valwood. They played the Deerfields. But now that you play in a GHSA team, we're going to see more and more of this. Charlton and Frederica, I think that's going to be important for different reasons. Then you go to week two, Valdosta at Tift County, a big one. Bainbridge at Cairo, big rivalry. Thomas County Central at Thomasville, no more need be said. One of my favorite rivalries in South Georgia, Irwin County at Fitzgerald. They're right down the road from each other, and they're both good programs. You got Turner County at Cook. I think that's a very good matchup. I think both of those teams have a really good idea where they are. The big one's going to be, our two big ones, are that Saturday. And, boy, that's great for guys like me. We're in studio on Friday night. Saturday, Trinity Catholic Missouri comes to the hog pen over at Cockwood County High School. Trinity Catholic's an outstanding team in Missouri, coming down to play Cockwood County. And Dr. Phillips, from down in Orlando, Florida, will be in Leesburg that day to take on Lee County. And that's going to be huge as well. The next week, August 31st, Lowndes at Parkview. I think it's going to be a big test for the Vikings, let them know where they are. Thomasville at Colquitt County. Coach Zach Grage, the former Rush Probst assistant. Bulldogs on a great run. Colquitt. Should be a great matchup. Coffee at Ware. Non-region game. Those two teams do not like each other. It's a big-time rivalry. And a lot of times, whoever wins that game, and they play every year, goes on to a great run and a deep playoff run. Bacon County at Berrien. Now, you say, whoa, Beckham. Bacon at Berrien? Yeah. First home game in the new stadium over in Nashville for my buddy Coach Tim Allegood and the Berrien Rebels, taking on the Red Raiders from Bacon County. Brooks at Clinch. Boy, does it get better than that. Brooks and Clinch in Homerville, August 31st. Also Cook at Early County. Mount Perrin Christian at Irwin County. That's another private school in Atlanta. Now, Mount Perrin Christian is, they've been in the GHSA. They've won a state championship in the GHSA private school division. Now meeting a power in the GHSA single-A public school division. And that's going to be an Osceola. That's going to be a treat. September the 7th, TCC at Cook, another big test for both of those teams. Camden County at Brunswick on the 14th. Colquitt County at Grayson, game in the state. No way around it. No bigger powerhouses than the Packers and the Grayson Rams. That game's going to be in Grayson on September the 21st. Same night as the Wintersville Classic. Wow. That's must-see football. And also the same night, Brooks County at Thomas County Central. Right down the road, Quitman and Thomasville, 30 miles, I guess. Go through Metro Boston on the way. It's going to be a great game at the Jackass Nest. And then Thomasville at Crisp County on the 28th. That's going to be two great schools, great programs in their own right. So we did run through the whole list, kind of abbreviated. Time to get excited about it. 18 weeks, 4 days. Spring practice right around the corner. We'll continue our discussion with coaches about spring practice coming up next week. Again, we appreciate our Ryan Fitzgerald for joining us earlier. You can hear that interview as well as the whole show on the podcast, which we'll have up in about a half hour. Thanks to our great friends at Ray Norton Tire and Auto Center, Citizens Community Bank, and Kerrigan Davis Capital and Risk Management. If you're out and about and you see those folks, tell them thank you for being a part of the High School Football Report. Again, like us on Facebook, The High School Football Report, and also follow us on Twitter at HSF Report. We put out stuff all throughout the week, and we hope that you do enjoy it. And most of all, thank you to you for listening. Check out the podcast. It'll be up soon. And we hope that you have a fantastic week. We'll see you next week right here Monday at 6 o'clock.